Good morning. Welcome back to the Family Worship Center website. We're gathered once again to record this service, and today we're celebrating Mother's Day. We do each year, and we welcome our church family and also any others that may be listening in today. We'll have some music and also have some testimonies from some of our folks that they've come in and recorded a message for their moms, just their gratitude. Let us bow our heads and let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts today. Father, thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. We give you thanks for your care, for sustaining us. And Lord, as we have prayed and continue to pray for many who have had to say goodbye to loved ones, Lord, others who are still suffering and fighting for their lives, we ask you, Lord, to help each family. And again, Lord, thank you for those who care for others and who have put their lives on the line. Lord, we pray for so many who have lost employment. We ask you, Lord, to please comfort, strengthen, and Lord, help them to be able to get back to their jobs, Lord, and to their work at a good time. And Lord, please speak to hearts, we ask, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Just as you are, hear the Spirit call. just as you are. Come and see, come receive, and come and live forever. Life everlasting, strength for today. Just as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see, come receive, and come and live forever. Life everlasting, strength for today. Taste the living water, never thirst again. Come.
Here at Family Worship Center, we celebrate Mother's Day, and it's a little bit different this year, but we've contacted some folks in the congregation and asked a few to share some words about their mom. And the very first one we'll have is Zabenzi. So if you'll come and share what's on your heart.
Hi there, church, and Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to talk to everyone here. And it is a very special day. It is Mother's Day. And my mother is Miss Evelyn Masondo, and she's wonderful. I really love my mother for many, many reasons, but most importantly, because she's loved me first before I could even love her. And she's constantly been an example of that unconditional love that the Lord shows us. I'll tell you two quick stories about it. I remember I was about probably 7 or 8 years old. We really didn't get report cards. We got these progress reports. They were called interims. And on the interims, you weren't graded by A through F or anything. You were graded by, you got an O for outstanding, you got an S for satisfactory, you got an N for needs improvement, and then you got a U for unsatisfactory. So I was going over this progress report, and I was real happy. I had all O's and S's. And I was showing this to my mother. My mother was, you know, like any good mother, encouraging her son and excited about what we did. And then at the end, she says to me, "You know, son, I love you." And I was like, "Oh, thank you, Mommy." And then she says, "Well, you know, I love you if you bring me home O's. I love you if you bring me home S's. I love you if you bring me home N's. And I love you if you bring me home U's." And I was like, "U's? Those are unsatisfactory. You'd still love me?" And she says, "Absolutely, I still love you. We'd work on it, though, because that's how much I love you. But it didn't matter what you brought. I love you." And that was really empowering and really encouraging, that truly that unconditionality. And then a few years ago, before I transferred into my current profession, I was working on my business. I was having a tough time, and things were just, they were just tough, you know, and I was looking to how to manage my money and borrow some money and everything. And my mother looked at me and said, "Son, don't worry about it. You could lose every dime you have. I still love you, and it's okay. And I'm here with you." And that type of exemplification of God's unconditional love is tremendous. And whether I was 8 years old or 28 years old, my mother's been there for me. And I love her, and regardless of what I could ever do for her, and I know she can love me like that because she has the love of Christ within her, and Christ loves her unconditionally, and that love is hopefully what we all are able to share with one another, especially during this trying time. But happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. But definitely for me, happy Mother's Day to my mommy, Mama Masondo. Thank you.
All right. And next we have Shirley Steves, who will come and share something.
Hi. I want to tell you all about my mom, Dora. First of all, I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom and all the moms here at Family Worship Center. I love y'all and miss you. I am so blessed to still have my mom. She is someone I look up to. My mom has worked hard all her life. She worked 40 hours or more in a factory. She cooked, cleaned, shopped, and put up with me and my brothers. As I look back, I don't know how she did all she did, but I'm so thankful for the care and love that she showed me. As I have gotten older and I see my mom is getting more fragile, every year I want to spend as much time as I can with her and make every Mother's Day better than the one before. I don't ever want to take her for granted because I don't know how many more Mother's Days I will have with her. Thank you, Mom, for being my rock. You're the best mom ever. And one more thing, Mom. I hope you can forgive me, Georgie, and Earl for taking the creepy crawler spider up your leg while you were sleeping. Thanks, everybody.
All right, and now we're going to have Jan Lines come and share something about her mom. Jan.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day. I would just like to say my mom, Roberta Santos, known as Bobby, which runs a lot in our family, a lot of Bobs and Bobbies. It goes along with the flow. But my mom, I just like to say she's a very strong person. I know a lot of everyone out there listening knows me and knows that we're a doer family. And I have to say that comes a lot from my mom and her side of the family. She's installed a lot of I want to say personality, motivation, loving. If it wasn't for her, our whole family would really fall apart because she holds our family together. And I know she got that from her mom and her father. But they have put a lot of our self-going, motivation, loving family atmosphere in our family. If it wasn't for her, we wouldn't be who we are. Our mothers are so important to us. And out of all growing up, my mom was always there. She went through a lot with us as I was a sickly child growing up. And she never let me know that. She always made sure I was treated equal, spoiled. I was very spoiled. My two kids were very spoiled as they were the first grandchildren. But she's been the perfect mother and perfect grandmother you could ask for. And I thank God every day for her and our family. So, and just always hug them because one day they're not going to be here. And we sure do love them. So happy Mother's Day.
All right. Mike, would you come and just share what's on your heart about your mom?
Yes, thank you. Mike Garrett, my mother is Jody Garrett, and I just want to open by saying I want to thank God for blessing me with life today and blessing me with a wonderful mother and a wonderful wife. You know, I think about my mother. And my mom and dad had five kids. To this day, I still don't know how she managed to do everything to feed us. House was always clean. Clothes were always clean. And she was always there to encourage us verbally with love and discipline if needed as well. But how she did that balance and did it, I thank my brothers and sisters and I. I think we'd all say she did a really good job at it. and to be that mother there for us, to love us the way she has always done. I'm very thankful to God for that. And so, Mom, I thank you very much for all the hard work you have done raising 5 naughty-headed children. And I think you did a really good job. And I love you, and I thank you so very much for loving me.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. We'd like to thank each of the folks who participated and came in and recorded this to share their gratitude for their moms. And we are grateful for our moms, how important they are in our lives. And we just treasure the sacrifices and the love that they have given. And God bless you, moms. Happy Mother's Day. You've been my friend throughout these years. Untold joys and sometimes tears. You laughed with me and made me glad, yet cried with me when I was sad. You corrected me when I was wrong. Your motive, love, and patience long. You taught me your most cherished truths, of which you pray I'll never lose. You kept your eye out for my good. At first I hardly understood, but now in retrospect I see that it was just you caring for me. Sacrifice and do without. I hear no complaints and I see no pouts. I bear a part of you today. That part so soon I'll carry away. And as your days draw to an end, I can truly say you've been my friend. Yes, you've been my good friend. Oh, you've been my Thank you, Mom. Love you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Hold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart.
make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Fair, a precious fountain, free to all the healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. A trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds his beam.
As we do each year here, we celebrate Mother's Day and give thanks for our mothers. And we do recognize that Mother's Day for some is a painful time. There are some who maybe wanted to be a mother but for some reason could not. There are some who have to say that their mother was not the best in the world. Some who've had a mother who's died just recently, and I do want to ask our church family to remember Betty Sweat's family. Betty went to be with the Lord yesterday, and we want to continue to pray for her family, her children Ronnie, Larry, and Lynn. And some who mothers who have wayward children this morning, and their hearts are heavy. We also want to remember single moms who are working hard to take care of their children and grow them up and are having to do that alone. And so we do recognize that Mother's Day is not necessarily a day of celebration for everyone, but for so many, we have a lot to be thankful for. And we want to talk about that this morning. Each year on this Sunday, as we think about our moms, typically, we turn to a specific chapter, a specific passage in, in our Bibles, and some of you probably are guessing it right now, Proverbs 31, and we will be taking a look at that in just a few minutes. But I want to read something here that that I found, Why God Made Moms. And this these are some questions that some elementary school age children were asked, and here are some of their answers, totally unfiltered. So why did God make moms? Well, one answer was, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Another child answered, mostly to clean the house. And the third one, I think, is really interesting. Why did God make moms? To help us out of there when we were getting born. The question was asked, how did God make mothers? And here were some of the answers. He used dirt, just like for the rest of us. Another one was this. God made my mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. And another one of the questions that were asked is this. What ingredients are mothers made of? And the answers came back. God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. And another one was, what ingredients are mothers made of? Here's the answer. They had to get their start from men's bones. They mostly use string, I think. Great answers to these. Here's a question that was asked. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? The answer was, we're related. And the second one here, another answer that was given, God knew that she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. Another question here. What kind of little girl was your mom? The answer, my mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. Another answer, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. And here's a telling answer as well. What kind of little girl was your mom? And their answer was, they say she used to be nice. Another question, what did mom need to know about dad before she married him? The answer, his last name. And then another one was, another answer, does he make at least $800 a year? Did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? That was a good one. All right. Who's the boss at your house? This question. One answer, mom doesn't want to be boss, but she has to because dad's such a goofball. Another question that was asked, what's the difference between moms and dads? The answers that came were, moms work at work and also work at home, and dads just go to work at work. And then this answer as well, moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. And here's a good answer. What's the difference between moms and dads? Dads are taller and stronger, but moms have all the real power because that's who you go to ask if you want to sleep over at your friends. And moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. Well, there are some others here, but I thought you might enjoy a few of those this morning. So we turn to Proverbs 31, and we're going to take a look at this. And this is nothing new. You've likely heard this before, but it is important, and things that are important are worth repeating. Proverbs 31, chapter 31, it's significant that Solomon, the wise man of the Bible, would close out his book of inspired sayings, Proverbs, with a tribute to his mother. And that's why we turn to it year after year. There's an old Spanish proverb. It goes like this. An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. How true that is. Our mother's ministering love and self-giving sacrifice for us are beyond our ability to reward. They cared for us when we were helpless. They watched over us like guardian angels. They loved us at times when nobody else would love us. And for many, they're the best earthly pictures of God some of us will ever know. And I found a couple things that I want to read for you this morning. I think they point to the quality of a mother's love, even in the midst of extreme cruelty in humanity. The first I want to read is Frederick Douglass's mother and her sacrifice for her son. I want to read this for you. Frederick Douglass grew up as a slave in Maryland in the early 19th century. He escaped and became one of the century's leading abolitionists who fought to end slavery forever. And he writes in Narratives of the Life of Frederick Douglass, an American Slave, about being torn away from his mother's love. Here are the words that he wrote. "My mother and I were separated when I was but an infant, before I knew her as my mother. It is a common custom in the part of Maryland from which I ran away to part children from their mothers at a very early age. She was hired by a Mr. Stewart who lived about 12 miles from my home. Nonetheless, young Frederick's mother several times found her way to see her son." He went on to write this. "She made her journeys to see me in the night, traveling the whole distance on foot. After the performance of her day's work, she was a field hand, and a whipping was the penalty of not being in the field at sunrise. She was with me in the night. She would lie down with me and get me to sleep, but long before I waked, she was gone." How amazing is the power of mother's love. Frederick Douglass's mother worked all day long in the scorching heat of the tobacco fields, and then when her body was crying for rest, she walked 12 miles in the dark to see her son. After comforting him and holding him as he fell asleep, she had to walk another 12 miles back. She gave up a night's sleep, and she risked getting a severe whipping if she was discovered or if she got home late. But nothing could keep this mother from her son. And that was an account from a mother's love in the midst of slavery in America. Here is another illustration of a mother's love that I found out and touched my heart as well. It's from a family that was living during the Holocaust in Europe, the Nazi murder of millions of Jewish people. This story is told of World War II and the Holocaust that took the lives of millions of people, of Solomon Rosenberg and his family. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons, his mother and father, were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. As long as you can do your work, you are permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, then you are exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father marched off to their deaths, and he knew that next would be his youngest son, David, because David had always been a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled, weeping, and praying. And he said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." And Joshua turned and said, "It is true, Papa. Today David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where is your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," he said, "when they came for David, he was afraid and cried. Mama said there's nothing to be afraid of, David, and she took his hand and went with him." As we said, it's clear to see that the strength of a mother's love, even in the midst of incredible cruelty. So we go back to Proverbs chapter 31, and just taking a quick survey of this chapter, we see that it's divided into two sections. The first section really covers verses 1 through 9, and it's a mother's advice to her son, the king, and she's giving advice to him. He will be a king, and he recounts this advice that his mother gave him. And this is important to keep in mind when our moms, at no matter what age, speak to us. Generally speaking, She's got our best interest at heart, and it makes a whole lot of sense to listen to her. You know, there is nowhere in all creation such an image of unselfish love as that of a woman for her child. She almost gives her life for his infant existence. All through his helpless years, she watches over him or her with untiring care. When he or she goes forth into the world, she follows that child with unfailing interest. He may forget her, but she will never forget them. And within the heart of every mother is the hope of good and great things for and from her child. And you know, one thing about mothers is that they are not shy about telling us what to do. I heard a grown man say one time, and it has stayed with me, "There is no one who can humble you like your mother." And how true that is. So what was her advice to her son? It comes as a warning. The warning she gives is about staying clear of the wrong kind of companions, particularly the kind of people who would ruin his character. And then she speaks to her son about drunkenness, not allowing indulgence to cause him to forget about his responsibilities. I want to read this verse for you, Proverbs 31 and verse 5. It says, I'm going to read verses 4 through 6. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol. For if they drink, they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed. I think that will be good to read those there. And that is not to allow these things to cause us to forget about our responsibilities. And then to do right, to do right in our capacity, to stand up and speak out for those who need a defender, particularly those who are tasked with responsibility for others. Let me read verses 8 and 9 as well here. It says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice." And so her advice is stay clear of wrong companions. She says specifically to choose the right kind of woman. And boy, what a difference the right kind of woman makes in a man's life. The second section we come to is this. This describes the right kind of woman. And the description it gives is this. This is the kind of woman whose children will stand up and thank her, and her husband will also praise her. And I want to read these verses. I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but this is chapter 31 of Proverbs. Verses 28 and 29. "Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all." Now, in this second section where it speaks about the kind of woman that her son should be looking for, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And in this passage, in the Hebrew, there are 22 verses arranged in alphabetical order. And some of us suggested that this order was set up to help young people of that day memorize the contents easier. And the contents of these 22 verses come down to four, maybe five principles that every mother would be wise to strive for. And her telling her son, this is the kind of person that you should be looking for. In fact, we see this in verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies." And this is the introduction to these principles that are laid out. We're going to just take a look at them this morning. She says, look for this kind of person, a woman with a character worthy of her husband's trust. You find this in verse 11 and 12 of this same chapter. "Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." And so Solomon's mom gave this advice, look for a woman with a character worthy of her husband's trust. The second thing she pointed to, and that is this, to look for a woman who takes care of the needs of her family. And I'm not going to read them all, but verses 13 through 19 list them specifically. Clearly, it speaks about industriousness and diligence. But what you see is here a woman who takes the responsibility, the care of her family. And verse 27 really kind of summarizes this. I'm going to read it for you. It says this, she carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. And so we see that Solomon's mom said, look for these things, a woman with a character worthy of her husband's trust, that her husband can trust her, she will do him good. But also, Solomon, look for a woman who is diligent and takes care of the needs of her family. But we see this also, and this is important. She said, look for a woman who has a heart for others in need. And we look to verse 20 in this chapter. Let me read this. It says, she extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. So that speaks of compassion, a woman who has a heart for others in need. And then this fourth principle we see here. She says, keep your eye out for this kind of woman, a woman whose life displays moral courage, godly wisdom, and kindness in actions and speech. And I'm going to read verses 25 and 26 as well. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. So a woman whose life displays moral courage, godly wisdom, and kindness in her actions and speech. So these are the things that Solomon's mom said to look for. He remembered them. He recorded them. And these are the things that we would encourage young men to keep their eye out for in women, and also a thing for women to attain to. I know that many at this time of year when these verses are read, it seems just overwhelming and daunting. But these are the things that would be wise to aim for. Now, how can we honor our mothers? In verse 31 in this chapter, here's what it says. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. How can we honor our mothers? And that's what we do at this time. This is not merely an exhortation to mothers of all ages, but also an exhortation for each of us here who still have our moms present in our lives, for us to honor our moms. First of all, by letting her know that we appreciate all that she has done. And a sincere thank you means a whole lot. Make sure that she knows that she is appreciated. And we're told in Exodus chapter 20, honor your father and mother. That is something that we are instructed to do, to honor our fathers and our mothers, but specifically on this day, to honor our mothers. Secondly, how can we honor our mothers? This is addressed to children in the home. Well, by showing your mom respect and doing what she says, being obedient. It says here that her children stand up and bless her in verse 28. You know, one way that you can honor your mom is just simply to thank her, to appreciate her, and then to go a step beyond that, and that is to be obedient. And I found another passage in Proverbs. You want to make your mom happy, young people? Let me read this passage here for you. Proverbs 23 verses 24 and 25. The father of godly children has cause for joy. What a pleasure to have children who are wise. So give your father and mother joy. May she who gave you birth be happy. And so you want to make your mom happy. You want to make her heart glad. Live for God. Live wisely. And honor God and honor your parents. Be an honorable person. That will bless your mom's heart. And then this instruction to husbands. How can we honor our mothers, our wives? And that is by helping to lighten her load, helping out around the house, standing up and letting others know how much you appreciate your wife, the mother of your children. We are thankful today for our mothers, and let us, if moms are still present in our lives, make sure that we take the time to let them know how much they mean to us and how much their life has impacted ours. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you today for our mothers. And Lord, as we've set aside this time, we give you thanks. Those who have had moms who've loved and sacrificed and given, Lord, help us to realize how blessed we are. And Lord, for those who are hearing this message and motherhood is still out ahead of them, Lord, we pray that these wise words from this book of Proverbs would stay with these young people, young men and young women, Lord. We pray that it would bless their lives. Lord, for children still in the home, we ask you, Lord, that you would put on each heart to truly honor their moms for their love and sacrifice, and to show that appreciation by living for you, living lives that are pleasing to you. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us, and please help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I just want to finish with a few closing comments. One is to remember Betty Sweat's family and continue to pray for them. We are so thankful for Betty and Lawrence. They've were a part of this church. Our family and their family came to the church, Family Worship Center, on the same Sunday back about 21 years ago, and they've just been an encouragement, and we certainly will miss them. We look forward to seeing them again on the other side of this life. Also, I've had a few calls asking when we're going to resume services here together, congregating. We are a congregation, and we're working on that, kind of trying to formulate a plan for that, and we will keep you posted on just when that's going to occur. I will say, for those listening, next Saturday morning, the men's fellowship will be meeting for breakfast at 8 o'clock. We'll be observing the recommendations given by the governor, social distancing, and we will be careful, but we invite you. That's 8 o'clock, 8 a.m. next Saturday morning here at Family Worship Center in the fellowship hall. And then just this last thought, make sure you let mom know just how much you love and appreciate her. God bless you. Till next time we meet, take care.